afternoon, everyone. Today, I'm going to do part two in a sermon that I began 2 weeks ago. I actually began around July 4th, as a matter of fact. It's on freedom on the edge of eternity. And today, I'm going to be talking about one verse. This is one of those verses that's just loaded with information. It's packed. Very similar to Luke 21:25. Remember, we did a four-part series on roaring seas around that one verse. This verse is a little unassuming. You wouldn't think much about it when you looked at it. And you know, during this week, I got very emotional, and when I finally got to see and understand a few things about some of this duality in a puzzle that I've been looking at for 40 years. And you know, you get little pieces here and little pieces there. And I said, wow, this is absolutely amazing. And I'm talking to myself out loud, you know, at home. And, you know, just me and the dog. You know, I do that when Audrey's not there. You know, so she don't think I'm crazy. But then I looked at it last night, and I was like, wow, just like I didn't tell the story. So Audrey says, well, how'd you do with the sermon? I said, I don't know. It's like it's missing something. So I'm boring her half to death. I'm looking at her over there, and I said, oh, please stop. Just get into the sermon. But yeah, I wanted to tell you that because there's a lot of information that's here. So what I want you to do today is really put on your thinking caps, because this is a Bible study type of sermon that you got to think, and you're going to have to put together understanding and knowledge of the past to put it all together. And then you're going to see how it all fits in with the timeline series that we've been working on from one little verse. All right. So with that said, so let me try to see if I can get started here now. All right, last week we ended up with this. And this is how we closed, and I'm just going to use the two slides to get us into today without spending a whole lot of time in review. It had been 40 years that the children of Israel had come to the end of their wandering in the wilderness, and they were camped at the edge of the Jordan waiting to cross when God calls them together to give them instructions. Ahead of them, within view, stood the great city of Jericho, and after 40 years of journey, their battle had finally arrived. They knew that if they were ever to have true peace, they understood that the land had to be conquered and the people had to be driven out. Today, we stand where they stood. Now think about that for just a moment. They were literally, if you go on a map, you could see that where they stood, they literally could look up because they were down in the valley. And Jericho was on a mound, a high level. It was this huge edifice. It was the largest city in the area. It was the entrance, or like going into today, a modern-day Babylon. And they could see it. In their minds, they remember the stories of their parents and their grandparents, who didn't go in because they were afraid of who was in there and the giants that were there. All of that for 40 years now rolling around in their heads, and they're about ready to cross that time to go in. Now, when God gives us this information, He's telling us that for today. Because you see, 1 Corinthians 10, which we covered last week, I won't go into all of that. I had to print it out, so this would take too much time. I have a lot to share with you today. They do that again today. So go back in 1 Corinthians 10 if you haven't read it. And God says in that chapter, basically, He says, listen, I recorded all of this so you guys don't make the same mistakes. So now, knowing that and then watching what all the pieces of a puzzle that He's put together over the thousands of years, you're going to be absolutely amazed what God has recorded for us about that verse of going into the promised land. So as they stood there, they stood on the edge of eternity waiting for instructions. Very similar to you and I. Waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, not knowing when the seals are going to begin. When's this going to happen? When are we going to begin all these problems that's supposed to take place? When's the fall of America? You name all these things and you wait for God to give us the instructions. So now, Joshua 1, verse 11. God says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan, go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. There it is. What did you get out of that? Right? Think about that for just a moment. So if you're getting this on a DVD later, I'm going to ask you to do something, which is unfortunately you can't do it here because we're live. Pause it. Take a moment and pray about it. Write down, what did you get out of this? And then watch what God has hidden in plain sight. What do you know about the verse? How is it connected to prophetic events today? And particularly, how is it connected to Revelation 1, verse 10, Revelation 12, and Exodus 15? Because you see, this is the key to putting the whole package together, that one verse. All right, let's talk about that today. Let's begin with some questions first. All right, so here's a question that Jesus asked. How do you read the scriptures? Remember somebody came to him one day and he asked, behold, a lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? So when you read Joshua 1, verse 11, how did you read that? What did you get out of that? I know for 40 years, pretty much all I got, that they're getting ready to go into the promised land. Never connected it to any other dot other than understanding what it said. But that's the amazing thing about scriptures. There's never any end to the layers of understanding that God has for us. Here's another one. Jesus asked the Pharisees a question. All right? The Pharisees came to him, the Sadducees. They tempted and desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it's evening, you say it will be fair for weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. He says, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. So if I looked at that verse again, Joshua 1:11, and I said, okay, now, tell me how it fits with everything we're looking at today, what would you say? What did you discern out of that verse? My clicker's doesn't seem to... I don't know why I get stuck sometimes, but it's a brand new clicker. All right, so let me go on here. In Matthew 22, another question. A woman who marries seven brothers. You might remember the story. I won't use the whole story because it's kind of long. So the same day, the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, ask them. By the way, there's a joke in that. Did you remember the joke? The Sadducees said there's no resurrection. And to believe that there's no resurrection, that's very sad, you see. That's grasping for straws, wasn't it? I remember that joke when I was in World War 1971, and they used it in a sermonette, and I never forgot it because I thought that was so funny. Yeah, they don't believe in resurrection. That's sad, you see. So anyway, going on. All right, going on. They said, saying, Master, Moses said that if a man die, he has no children. His brother shall marry his wife and shall raise up the seed after his brother. And that was the law. So if you were married and the husband died, well, then the wife would be given to the brother and he's supposed to marry her, and then they raise and keep the family heritage going. And they did the same thing with all seven brothers. You would think after a while, the brother says, I'm not marrying that lady. But anyway, here's the story. Finally, they said, whose wife shall they be in the kingdom? And Jesus states, you err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. So here we have a number of questions that Jesus threw back to the people. And it was dealing with scriptures. Like, how do you read the scripture? How do you read the signs of the times? And finally, he says, in this one here, he says, you don't understand the scriptures because you don't know what you're reading. And we live in a time that's happening to us today. Many people are running off to and fro and all kind of prophetic scenarios and crazy things that make no sense. And they do it because they don't understand the scriptures. All right, so now, with all that being said, let's begin to go through. What do we do in learning about the scriptures? All right, let's understand about how this is written. This is before, what came before and after the verse? So when you read a scripture, what came before and afterwards? Or do you take the scripture out of context? What's the time frame or the history that it was recorded in? Because quite often they will write things according to their time. When you look at Revelation, and John's describing what it looks to be like a tank. He doesn't know what a tank looks like, or a jet, or a helicopter. So he describes what he sees in the future. So when he writes something down, you don't know what is recorded, because you have to understand the history of the time that it was written. What time is it meant for? When you read a scripture, what time frame was that scripture meant for? How about the historical or the prophetic value? Does it have any of that? Right? Or is it just poetic? Some scriptures are simply poetic. Does it stand alone, or is it supported with other scriptures? No, you can take a scripture out of context and make it say almost anything you want it to say. But you have to have it supported. Does it have a former and a latter, which is what we quite often use in our studies? Is there a physical to it or a spiritual to it? What are God's instructions for the verse? Now, believe it or not, that one verse we're going to cover today is going to encompass all of that. Realize that's in that verse of what God wants us to understand. To explain Joshua 1, verse 11, we're going to use all of those to tell the story. So now, we don't stop there. What else do we need to know? We can't forget given understanding and knowledge that we've already had. So in addition to all of this, we can't forget specifics God has given to guide us. One, God will do nothing unless he reveals the secret to his servants first. So we know that wherever God's taking us, whatever we're doing, wherever we're going, God's pretty much just said he's going to give us the instruction, particularly going into the return of Jesus Christ. That is what this scripture is referring to in the type of duality. Two, God would give us signs in the heavens. So when he began to move things, somehow that verse has got to be connected to signs in the heavens. How in the world does that happen? Three, God has told us the end from the beginning. So to explain that verse and understanding everything else, we are able to go back into the Old Testament and to find out what God has told us and where it's taken us. And to understand this, God speaks to us in these last days through his word. And to say all of this, everything we have is already been written. So everything we want to find out and understand and learn is already recorded for us to go after it. And that's what we're going to do today. Oh, there's one more thing. One more thing that we must have that God grants to his church is the gift that God granted to Daniel. And that's right, because you see, God's going to be giving that to you and to me, to his church, in the end of days. Here's what he says. He's going to give us gifts. Look at verse 17 of Acts chapter 2. It says, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." That was a gift that Peter had in the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. When everybody thought, what happened to these people? They must be drunk. Peter said, no. Peter discerned from what God gave him that this was from the prophet Joel. And he explained to him where it was. So he understood exactly what was going on. So he had been given the gift like that of the prophet Daniel to be able to discern the prophetic events. Daniel saw and understood the events to take place in the future. Remember the prophecies and the dreams? They were given to certain people and they went to Daniel and he interpreted them. In fact, God gave some to Daniel that he didn't get the understanding to. He said, just write them down and go your way. It's not for you. In the end of days, Peter saw the events foretold in the prophets in the present tense. That's what he says in Acts. He said, these are the times that are spoken of by Joel. For you and I, this is the gift that God prophesied to give to the elect at the end time. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. Why? What is that about? Well, that's about what is already written for us. Now, the instructions. That's the background. You got it all? because that's what it takes. Now, let's get into understanding the instructions. To view all of that and to understand the verse, we have to have the instruction from God's mindset, not ours. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways," says God. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts more than your thoughts." So when you read something and you're trying to understand it, the question has to be, what is it God is trying to give me? Not what you're picking out of it yourself. What is it God wants you to understand? Quite often there'll be two things that will happen. God will give you knowledge, but you don't have understanding yet. So he'll give you things to know, but you don't understand why or what it's all about until somewhere down the road. Because God will give you that understanding waiting to see what you're going to do. One thing about knowledge and understanding of God, that if you don't adhere to the information and the knowledge or the understanding he's given to you, if you disregard it or disrespect it, the learning stops. You won't get to the understanding part. Because if you've learned it and you've understood it and you deliberately get rid of it, you have disobeyed God and you risk your future. You risk eternity. You cannot deliberately disobey God because you will be accountable for it. But if you know something of a knowledge, but you really don't understand what it is you know, where God says, seeing they will see, hearing they will hear, but not understand, then you're not yet held accountable. And God does that with so many people out in the world. And he does that on purpose so he doesn't have to destroy them. Coming again. That's the second motherboard. That's the second motherboard. Is it still live streaming? Yeah. We weren't blinking. That's it. That's going out. We thought maybe it was the projector, but I think it's the motherboard they put in. That's the second motherboard they put in now in 2 months. So I don't know what's going on with our system. All right, let's go on. You notice any time I feel like there's something important that all of a sudden equipment starts failing? My goodness, it's true. You think so? You don't want to blame Satan for everything, but it sure seems like it's happening with us. A little project like building this thing over here, all of a sudden everybody gets injured and something happens to them. All right, let's go on. So now when God gave his instructions to the Israelites, he recorded specific aspects of their plight to be preserved, to be understood for the end time generation. Thus God recorded the scriptures for a dual purpose. That duality is being revealed in our generation. Now, the reason I was moved with what I'm understanding and trying to share with you today is because everything that God has done, when you start putting all this together for thousands of years, all of these events that are coming together is for our day. That's amazing because, you see, God has to move nations, move kingdoms, move kings, move priests, to put this in order, to make it work so that there is the duality for us to understand today. So we don't fail. And you think about all the things that God has done for us so that we can make it. That's absolutely amazing. All right, so now, remember what he's told us. Here's the verse. Going into verse 11, we'll start with 10. So Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host to command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord, their God, gives you to possess." Now, when you put all those pieces together, everything we've been talking about, then aligning them to the inside of the prophecy timeline, I'm going to show you how this all comes together. And it couldn't be understood like we're sharing today without the prophecy timeline, believe it or not. Without understanding the history of all these events that's been taking place, it would miss where we are today. It points us to the time in which we live today. I was talking to Steve Council earlier in the week, and when I was kind of emotional, I said, "Steve, do you realize that this timeline has become a roadmap?" So, you know, if you're on a road and you're looking for where you're going to go, it's got a sign up there that tells you, you know, so many miles to such and such, you know, your turn, events that's coming up ahead. When you look at history and the duality of God's plan, and you put it together and you start laying this thing out, it's a roadmap. So as you go through and you're putting together more understanding as we move closer and closer to Christ, you know where I find myself? I'm back in the timelines. Because that's where the roadmap was. And it gives me the answers of what I'm looking for, where I'm going to. I said, this is amazing. God has blessed our church to be able to put together a roadmap of where we're going and finding that information. And when I come in and y'all are in your Bible study, I see y'all been watching those series. I hope there's helping to be able to understand, because if you're doing that, this will make a lot more sense today. So now, understanding what God has preserved for us and the duality of the events. When God leaves us scriptures that specifically instruct us to do something, He does it so we don't make the same mistakes. That's what we mentioned about 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It is telling us that we are going to go through the similar trials like they went through, but God willing, with different results. Now think about what they went through. I remember reading for the first time in Deuteronomy, I believe it was chapter 5, when God says, when I brought you from Egypt, He says, and I brought you through the wilderness, He says, you lack nothing. The first time that struck me, that He lacked nothing, I remember reading the stories about they were in the desert. There was no water. You know, they had the same shoes for 40 years. They ate the same food every day for 40 years. I thought about all those things, and I said, and I looked around my house with all the things we have today, electricity and air conditioning, and you know, I'm tired of eating chicken. What we're going to have today? You know, they had manna. That was it. He said, you lack nothing. So my concept of what we need and God's concept of what we need is totally different. So when God says, don't do like they did, don't grumble, that means to tell us that He's preparing us to go through hardships. You ready for that? That's where you're going to go before this is all over. Is your mind at stress what's been going on this past week, this past month, this past year? It's emotional on everybody. The prayers, the concerns, the sicknesses that are running around, putting mask on, taking mask off. Can you associate? Can you not associate? Have to distance. The hypocrisy, the lies, the violence. We haven't even started anything yet. And God tells us there's going to be a wearing down of the saints. Emotionally, it's stressful. But God says, I'm telling you this for a reason. Because you got to toughen up, He's telling us. Because you're going to go through problems. And you better get ready for it. And some of you, He's saying, are going to be martyred. Now, I don't know who that's going to be. But God says that's going to happen. It's prophesied to take place. They were headed to the promised land. You and I, we're headed to the kingdom. The duality is unmistakable. They were the type, the form of the physical nation of Israel. You and I, we're the anti-type. We're the latter. We're the spiritual. You hear all this nonsense about all the racism and everything goes out there? Get it out of your head. You're a spiritual Israelite. This is not our world. This is not our nation. Abraham understood that. When God told him, get up and go, and he said, I'm going to show you, he went and he never lived in a house again. He lived in a tent the rest of his life. Hebrews tells us that he searched for a city that's hands was built by God. He never found it. That's where you and I are going. But if we want to get there, we can't let the distraction and the noise of today stop us. We are one body, one people. All of us are spiritual Israelites, whether born or adopted. There is no difference to God. You're the same family. You have the same father, the same elder brother. That's what we have to focus on. And I tell you, when I come in on Saturdays, it is so nice to come in and find peace. Because you don't find that anywhere you go. But to find the brethren, how great it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Isn't that great where we're at today? So now, the prophecy timelines. So because we've been picking up new people now, week after week, month after month. I want to share something with you here. The prophecy timeline series, all right? In case you haven't seen it, I don't have it up here. It's a 4-page spread that we put together. It's a covering sermon series that we've put together for the last 7 years. It's almost 60 hours. And this series I'm going through today, we're going to add that into it. And it's going to go in even further. It covers events of historical significance that's taking place in our day from the past. Two, periodically we would inject a DVD in a series that focused on the conditions that America was in as it changed during the timeline being covered. Now, if you saw News Nuggets and Insights, I brought this in yesterday, but I'm bringing it in today on purpose because people who watch sermons don't always get News and Nuggets, because I want you to understand where we're going from this. So now, in the timeline series, there's a page. You open up that page. Now, this four-page brochure you can write in, and you can get it. We'll mail it to you. Or better, you just go right online, go to the website, and you can print it out. Or watch it online and see what's at. This is the page that you're looking at here. It's on the inside page, and it has a listing of all of the series according to their type and the dates that they were given. I recommend that you go through each one by date, because each series built on the last one, just like this series is building on the last ones that we went through. In the first top part of it, the top of it, is the prophecy timeline. That covers the events according to time, Old Testament, New Testament, going into the end time. The bottom one of what you're looking at, though, shows us the conditions that America was changing, right? Remember 2015, when the law passed about the gay rights, gay marriage? Has our nation changed since that day? Oh, absolutely. We're not the same people anymore. Now it's changed around that the Christians now are a hated people. The Christians are. I'm going to show you a little video. It's the only video I got today, because this is not a news sermon. This is a biblical sermon that's focused on just the biblical points of where we're going today, but showing you how America has changed over the last 5 years. Now, this is the page that the bottom half references, and on the two sides tells you the conditions of America, right, that we're going through. Now, what I'm going to do today, I'm going to show you two slides from right here in that bottom right-hand side. Let me build that up just a little bit and bring it out so you can see what that is. That was the four-part series on America under siege. Now, in that, I'm going to show you the slide, what we said and where we are, where we thought we were that day. You'll show you today. We're in that confirmation. What was amazing in what I showed yesterday in News Nuggets and Insights that I'm bringing to you today is the picture that God inspired me to use. When I saw that picture, American under siege, I said, man, that pretty much tells the story. America is on fire. You know, the flag turned upside down is like a distress call, and no one's coming to its aid. But anyway, so here we have, that's how we started today, and that seemed to be the same picture that people has used over and over and over again in our times. And so when I used that, I said, wow, this is the time that we're in today. So now, the Prophecy Timeline series, this is where we were in that series I just showed you, America Under Siege. And look at a little box that I brought up. It says, this is where we are today, just before Satan's final siege. That's where I thought we were 2 years ago. I said, I really believe we are just about the time that Satan's going to begin his final siege. And there was reasons that we said that because of the timeline series. That's where we have moved in today. I believe, and I'm going to show you today, that I believe we have moved into the time where Satan now has began his attack. When you look around what's going on in the world, I think you'd agree with that. From this information, we can discern three specific things. All right. We look at Matthew 16 to get them. Matthew 16, verse 1 says, the Pharisees with the Sadducees came tempting to desire that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered, he said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather, for the sky, for the sky is red and lowering. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. We covered that just briefly a few minutes ago. From that, we bring this out. After repeated warnings for decades, God placed Jeremiah at the forefront of the warning of Judah and Israel one last time. Now, did I just take a left turn? No, I didn't, because you see, that's the same thing that God has done with his church. It's connected. One's physical, one's spiritual. God shows us the former to show us the latter. The church has done the exact same thing in warning, and we put together pretty much some times in just a minute. So we have a modern-day type like that of Jeremiah's day when we look at World War II. We look at a modern-day Assyria who was attacking Israel. All right, so here, they hated him so much, talking about Jeremiah, that they placed him in prison, and the message was burned. In other words, what we're saying is that when we tell everybody what's going to happen, the Pharisees, they don't want to hear it. The religious people today are not going to want to hear it. We know from what happened for decades through the warning, eventually when Jeremiah was brought in front of everyone, they took the information from him, the warning messages, they brought it to the king. He tore it up piece by piece and threw it in the fire and threw him in a dung heap. That's how they're going to receive our message. At the same time, God says, doesn't matter, go tell them anyway. Right, that's where we are today. So that was the America under siege. So there was the picture, and then I just brought a couple of other ones to show you how similar it was. And we did this 2 years ago before we ever got into this. All right, Jeremiah in church and his dualities. Jeremiah, back then, he began with a warning to King Josiah, who was repentant and changed. Babylon, it was the next breach in the wall from Jeremiah back then, and eventually came the fall of the temple. Jeremiah's warning to repent in captivity and scattering begins with the assault by Babylon, which we will face again today. So you have Assyria to Israel and Babylon to Judah. The fall of the temple was the next phase. The Jews fled to Egypt for a place of safety, and God destroyed them when they did that. Jeremiah eventually was taken to Egypt with the daughters of the king. When it was all said and done, 70 years later was the rebuilding of the temple, and Haggai gathered the scattering in the type of the return of Christ with Babylon 70 years. 70 is one generation. Jesus Christ says when the fall comes, it would come that this generation shall not pass. So now let's look at the church in our day. Just like with the Jeremiah warning to Josiah, who rebuilt or reestablished God's plan. There was a restoration with the church back in 1934, and I actually found out it was actually incorporated in 1933. The Plain Truth began in 34, but the incorporation of the church in 33 was the exact same year that Hitler rose to power. So you see this struggle, just like back in the Old Testament, you see happening in our day between Germany, modern-day Assyria, and God's Word with the church. The church's warning began to repent and scattering began with the place of safety in 72 and 75. The breach in the wall of the church came in 86 at the death of Herbert, and the church became apostate in 1995. The scattering of the flock continued with the work of God. The big difference here? This is the second generation. The church failed. That generation didn't go in. Remember the Old Testament? The children who came out of Egypt? That generation didn't go in. So what you're doing is you're lining up just like it was in the Old Testament. So today, as I brought up, this is where we are today, just before Satan's final siege. So the question or the concern is the remnant today. Where do we stand today? All right, those similarities. Jeremiah's preaching was 40 years. Now watch this. In 1978 was the first major split from the Worldwide Church of God. That's when Herbert W. and Garner Ted split. That's when the scattering began. That began the falling away of the first generation. The second generation was being established. The primary doctrinal shift, place of safety, and God can work with the scattering, not through one man. Now, we can see why today is so important that there is a scattering. You imagine if there was one church, how quickly the church would be shut down? Oh, the government can come in and shut them down. They know exactly where everybody was and just shut them down and the church couldn't exist. They could take them off the air. They'd never be able to proclaim the message at all, any time for them. They were 40 years in the wilderness. Jeremiah was 40 years of warning and preaching. He began, believe it or not, warning the pastors, the priests of his day. And today the church had been 40 years in the scattering. So the second generation, when you put it all today, when I said, I think we're at the time now that Satan's final siege. Why? Because we had been at 40 years of the scattering for the second generation. So when God tells the second generation, get ready because you're about to go in, you and I are in that time right now, right today. So now, the Israelites were the physical nation of Israel. They were the second generation going in. Numbers 14. See, but your little ones, which said, it shall be a prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. Why do you say what you have despised? Because the worldwide, those who remained, despised the truth they became apostate and went back in the world. They despised the truth. So the word that's being used here is applicable to today, from the first to the second generation. He said, but as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. So if you listen and you've been in a church for any length of time, emails go out, phone calls go out, did you know so-and-so died? And so they're dying one after another. That generation now is dying out. And the second generation is preparing to go in. Your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So the church, people say, I don't understand why we're not growing. What's going on? Why? Because we're the church. We're scattered and we're wandering in the wilderness waiting for direction. That direction's coming. And it's going to be here before you ever know it. Because you see, there's going to be a great multitude that's going to come out of tribulation. But it won't be until after what we're showing today. So then the number of the days which you search the land, even 40 days each day for a year, shall bear your iniquities. So we know that children of Israel were 40 years in the wilderness. And so it has been with the church of God. 40 years of wandering and splitting after splitting after splitting for 40 years. And by the way, that 40 years was in 2018, from 1978, which when I brought this series out, was 40 years at that time. The church today are the spiritual Israelites, that we too are the second generation. The worldwide church of God failed. From the beginning of the scattering to 2018, 40 years has transpired. You realize that? 40 years. The WC ceased to exist as a church by 1995, when it chose to go back into the doctrines of this world. The Israelites were told to be ready in 3 days. Now, what has that got to do with anything? How does that apply today? Any significant prophetic event that happened 3 days ago? You think happened 3 days ago? Well, it's hard to figure. But remember, God said a day as a year. How about 3 years ago? Anything happened 3 years ago? Well, let's take a look. A day is a year. How about 3 years ago? With all of this information now, now we're ready to begin the timeline on 3 days to tell us where we are in prophecy. That took me about 42 minutes to give you the background for what I'm about to tell you. You got it all? It's hard to pull it all together, all the pieces. That's why when Audrey asked me last night, I said, I don't know. I don't fail to get this message across because it's very important of what I'm about to tell you now. So now we're ready to begin to explain where we are with 3 days in the crossing. We know where we're going, right? We know this. We understood that. Why? Because there's a prophecy that says so. Somewhere about that time in Hosea 6 verse 2, after 2 days or 2,000 years, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. So we know from the time that Christ was crucified, the prophecy of his coming back is after 2 days. Now, no matter who puts it down to pen, it's somewhere about this time. That's not Tom. That's not anybody interpreting anything. That's historical value of when he died till today. You go back on the calendar and look at it. You've got 2,000 years. Now, we began covering this with the blood moon tetrads. And the reason I began covering it, because it was the eighth tetrad since the time of Jesus Christ. Now, that is important because that means new beginnings. When I began to understand and work on all this, I began to disprove that. I said, that's impossible. That can't be true. I thought people were going crazy with this stuff. And the more I looked at it, I said, I can't disprove it. The difference was is the conclusions they found from what they were doing was wrong. It wasn't the end of the world. It was the beginning. It was that God had began a new phase of his plan. And why did it come about in 14 and 15? When you go back to 15 and you look at the events, what's taking place is Israel signing a compact. The Pope was signing a compact with the Arabs. The Pope over here in America, in the White House, and the law of passing the gay rights in the marriage, which Jesus Christ said was going to take place. It'd be the days of Sodom before his return. Everything changed. Everything was set in place now to begin moving us to the end time. And God gave us time to repent. This nation has not repented. In fact, if you talk repent, they hate you for it. They want to silence you, want to take away your jobs, take away your future. Who knows what they'll do next into your houses that's coming. I left this in here. This is the Miskey moment. This is where the government says that they no longer have the funds to pay for anything except the interest on the debt. That means that there's no way to go forward to getting us back in order. That was before 2020. They put that out in 2019. So we are probably at that stage right now, could be this year, or maybe even 2022. I don't know. It shows you that when this happens, or when the left takes over, now if you want to be in politics, you don't have to be in politics. You better understand one thing. When the left takes over, then I call them the non-godly side, or the socialist side now, whatever you want to call it, and they support UN resolutions over the Constitution, you have moved into the second phase of captivity of Israel, whether you know it or not. That's when it happens. It'll either happen in this election or the one that's going to be in about 3 months. So you better pay attention, because if it happens in 3 months, I believe what God's telling us, he has called time short, and things will radically change really fast. So be ready for if that happens. So now, here we are today, 2020. Where are we today? What happened 3 days ago? It's hard to picture anything happened 3 days ago. How about 3 years ago? Anything happened 3 years ago that you can think of that's important? Anything that fits the timeline historically and prophetically? How about this? 2017, something took place. The heavenly signs. Now, many of the churches said that was nonsense. Okay. I don't think so. That's the time in history, the only time that NASA finds, and you'll have to go back, and we have it online, Heavenly Signs is the name of that series. That's actually, I think, two series. Tells you about those events that lined up four times, but only once where it has Jupiter going into a womb or a type of being born at this particular time. The four times were two times Israel failed, the Old Testament and the New Testament, Judah, when the walls collapsed and Israel in the temple was destroyed, and once when Christ was born, and now. It's the only time these events ever lined up. That happened in 2017. Now, we had another series that came out afterwards called The Day of the Lord Revisited. When Revelation 1, verse 10 says, I was in the day of the Lord. I believe, and we made a point, I think I made the case, at that particular time through a four-part series, that I believed this event, this event began the day of the Lord. And the reason I said that was because what the church had taught when it was they saying taking place was after the persecution is because of a misunderstanding of Joel. I believe right there was the beginning, because John said in Revelation 1 verse 10, when God gave him this information, he was in the day of the Lord before anything happened. All right, so that's where he's at. Joshua 1 verse 11. Prepare your victuals. Within 3 days you shall go over this Jordan to possess the land which the Lord the God gives you to possess. 3 years ago, if I told you what was going to be 3 days, it makes no sense. But how about now we look back and we come forward 3 days? 3 years. A day is a year. Is anything happening now in this year? This year has changed everything. Where we are today is uncharted in human history. Of what's taking place. And it isn't slowing down. This is the decade of change that we brought up back in January. Prepare your victuals, in 3 days you shall pass over the Jordan. So now I'm asking you the question. Is it possible in time, in duality, when we look back at them telling them getting ready to come over, are we there today? This 2020, the end of 3 days. Now why would I say that? When they crossed over, remember, they're not in the promised land. The way the scripture says, prepare to go into. When they cross, they're on the edge. They're not in. When they did, what happened? Jericho's seen it. I'm going to show you. They locked up the doors. Anger rose. There was this huge amount of volatility going on around the land. Why? Because now they moved over. Is it possible that Satan knows that God planned 3 days ago, 3 years ago, that he would begin this year to move us to the return of Jesus Christ? I think so. Why is all this going on? Why so much hatred that's taking place? When they crossed the Jordan, their plight into the promised land had only begun. They wasn't finished. They were just getting started. For you and I, when we look at 2020, we're not there for Christ yet. We're not in the promised land. Our journey has just begun. I feel, from what I'm seeing in this verse, that 3 years ago, God says, it is time. He made that decision. And that's why you've seen everything going crazy. And now it's the third day. And anger broke out all over the world. Just like it was in the promised land. There was no peace in the promised land. Every one of those cities, the nations, the warriors, all battened down the hatches and they were ready for war. That's going on today in the spirit world. Look at John 1 verse 10. He says, I found myself in the day of the Lord. The events had only begun and they would continue. And in both occasions, then and now, the journey began peacefully. They began with warnings. They told them to make themselves ready, and immediately the churches will begin to warn. And just like with Israel, when they crossed the Jordan, Jericho, they closed up their gates, they locked their walls, and they prepared for war. Look at Joshua 6. It said, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out, and none came in. That's what's going on today around this world. When they look at God's people, they want nothing to do with you. You ain't going out, and you're not coming in. They want to destroy you. I got one little short video here. It's about 3 minutes. And it nails down what's going on around the world today. Hopefully it'll play. Let's try to play that one video.
Over the weekend, multiple Christian churches and Christian monuments, statues, were targeted for violence. Some of them were completely destroyed. It's a disturbing story that's not being covered in many news outlets for some reason. Eric Metaxas joins us after the break. Let's focus from American history to Christianity. Over the weekend, vandals in Boston torched a statue of the Virgin Mary outside a church. In New York, they defaced a statue of the Virgin Mary in front of a Catholic school. In Florida, a man drove his car into a church as it was preparing for Sunday Mass. He then dumped gasoline in the entryway and set the building on fire. In the state of California, a historic church was destroyed completely by flames as it prepared to celebrate its 250th anniversary. Local fire department suggested it may have had something to do with outrage from the mob directed at Junipero Serra, that was the founder of California's mission system. As churches burned and statues were defaced, former Democratic Party leader Howard Dean, maybe the dumbest person ever to run the DNC, tweeted this, unfortunately, Christians don't have much of a reputation for anything but hate these days, thanks to Franklin Graham and Jerry Falwell and other Trump friends, end quote. Eric Metaxas is a Christian. He's the author of the book, If You Can Keep It, The Forgotten Promise of American Liberty, and also of maybe the single best biography of Martin Luther. He joins us tonight. Eric, thanks so much for coming on. So here you have the former head of the DNC attacking Christianity as a religion of hate and its disciples as haters. Imagine Howard Dean saying that about any other religion. What would the response be, do you think?
Listen, you got to give Howard Dean a pass. He's a jughead. You cannot take him seriously. Here's the issue. When you start to scapegoat Christians and you say it's because of them that these things are happening, unfortunately, you fall into the trap of being like the Emperor Nero when Rome burned. And, of course, he could have done something about it, and he didn't. He blamed the Christians. It's very convenient. It's happening now. I think a lot of the nastiness that is being directed at these statues, it really has to do with something deeper, Tucker. I hate to say it, but there's something very dark. You saw this in the French Revolution. There was a hatred at the bottom of it of God, of any kind of authority. And these people are drunk with the idea that they can, you know, somehow be an authority themselves, that they can seize power.
Right.
And if you really want to cut to the chase, you forget about statues of generals and things. You go right for God. You go right for the Virgin Mary. My goodness, you go for churches. You cut to the chase. Someplace in Moby Dick, one of the greatest novels ever written by a great American, he talks about Ahab, who's consumed with rage, wanting to strike through the mast. In other words, sort of to punch a hole in the sky and murder God. That's really where the source of hatred is coming from. It's a hatred of God and a sense of deep injustice. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about something that goes way beyond Confederate generals.
That nailed it. It's a hatred for God. There's a spirit of an Antichrist and a hatred of God that's permeating our nation and around this world. Because Satan knows he has but a short time. And he's infiltrating the people's minds, their hearts, and their spirit. And anything that remotely resembles God. Now, we all understand that Virgin Mary, there is no, we don't worship that. There's many of the Protestants. But see, there's something else going on right now. God's protecting his church because the warning still has to go out. But it doesn't matter to Satan. Anything closely to Christ, whether it's true or false, he's got to destroy it. That's what you're looking at today. And that's where the beginning of where it's going to. So now, Joshua 1:11 says, prepare to go after 3 days. Now look at Exodus chapter 15. I'll try to go through this so that I don't take too much time. We've got to pull all this together to show you what God has done to pull these verses together to tell us about where we are today. So this is Exodus 15. And this is where they crossed the sea. So Moses brought Israel from, this is after they crossed the sea, from the sea they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and they found no water. They came to Marah and they could not drink because the waters of Marah were bitter, for that was the name that they called Marah, for bitter waters. So the people murmured against Moses saying, what shall we drink? And they cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast in the waters were made sweet. And he made them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. So what we're looking at now, when they crossed over, they went 3 days' journey. So they crossed the Red Sea coming out, they went 3 days' journey. They get prepared to go across in 3 days to Jordan. The parallel, one physical, one spiritual. When they got to the third day, at the beginning of the day, everything was a mess. The waters were bitter. They couldn't drink. At the beginning of the millennial reign, at the end of 2 days, at the beginning of that third day, this world is in chaos when Jesus Christ returns. And it's going to take him to set it place to make the waters sweet again. And for 1,000 years, he's going to turn things around. But when we begin that time, just like it was here, that God is showing us, it's going to start off very bitter. So we need to get ourselves ready for what's going on. And look what God says in verse 26. But if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, I will put none of these diseases upon you. When we pray for the church, you know pretty much the church at large has been protected from this COVID virus. You realize that? I've heard of a couple cases here and there that it's happened. One person, because he had a heart attack and he went into the hospital and he caught it there and he passed away. But the church at large has been protected. God says all these diseases that's coming, you look at the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. And remember, he separated the people after a few of the plagues and they were protected. You want to be protected? Then keep the word of God. And he says he's going to protect you. He says you're not going to bring on you the diseases that's coming on the rest of this world. Now, let's look at this verse one more time. Now, let's take the verse itself and dissect the verse. We've put it in historical context. We've looked at it former, latter, physically and spiritually. We've tied us to Israel. We've tied us to where we're going. Now, I just want to look at the verse for what it says. Same verse. He says, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan. Look what it says. Prepare yourself vigils. Have you thought about that? I said, I wonder what that word really means. I went and looked up it. It means food. That's exactly what it means. Sometimes you can find some little nuance of hidden mystery there. This one there isn't. It's food. So what food can they prepare? Remember this? All they had was manna. And you can only prepare it for 1 day. Unless it was a Friday, it would last for 2 days. But he told them to prepare for 3 days. So it's interesting how that works. Right? They're going to cross over, and God says the manna is going to cease, and they're going to go into eat food of the land. But right now, they're preparing. What about you and I? Think about it. Remember, this is for you and I. What's our manna? Jesus is the bread of life. So when these 3 days went by, and we saw the signs in the heavens, and the day of the Lord beginning, did you prepare your manna? If you didn't, you better prepare it now. Jesus is the only thing that's going to get you through this mess. It's not going to be how much food you got, although we need to start doing some preparation. You know, if you sit on your butt, God ain't going to do anything for you. I remember Mr. Herbert thought one time, he said, God's not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. All right? So that's a good lesson to learn. But even what you do for yourself isn't going to get you through 3.5 years. It's not going to be enough. It's not going to work. So we have to prepare to trust God. That's our manna. So when we draw the connection, that's our manna. That's our bread of life. He says, in 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan. So what is that? That pulls together the former, the latter, the spiritual of where we're coming through. So spiritually, if God, and I believe he has in 2017, he made the decision. What did he do? He began to fulfill his covenant to Abraham to prepare us to go over where? To begin his plan for the return of Jesus Christ, which I believe began this year. How long is it going to last? Well, it don't tell us. It doesn't tell us that how much time is between Revelation 1 verse 10 and the beginning of the seals in Revelation. We don't have a time frame. But when we look at 2024 and we lay out a timeline, we know it's getting close. We look at 2030 and all the. By the way, did you hear Biden again this week? He said, you know, we only got 9 years left before it's too late to save this planet. Why are they saying that? It could be just political. I don't think so. I think it's Satan throwing his wavelength in people's heads to put the fear into them that they need to change. For many people, they literally believe it. If we don't get rid of those cows from farting out there, we're going to lose this planet. And so they believe it. We've got 9 years left, he's saying. It's amazing how far this thing is going. And three, to go in to possess. After the crossing, this is important to remember, you're not in the promised land yet. And that's something I didn't understand till this week to put out clarity to you. Is that when you think they would cross the Jordan, because the songs tell us that, they cross the Jordan, everything's fine, right? Uh-uh. That only began the problem. That began the takeover. That began the change of this world's rulership and government that God Almighty is coming down to do himself. So at the beginning of their journey, the physical and the former, the spiritual and the latter. Look at Exodus 14. Israel camped by the sea, and on the third day they crossed over the sea, and in the middle of the night the sea closes at daybreak. 3.5 days. Now, I wondered about that for a long time. Why did God tell us that the two witnesses were dead in the street for 3.5 days? I said, why would he be so specific about 3.5 days? It's because he's telling us a time event of the past is going to happen again. All right, so let me show you. In Joshua 1:11, be ready, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in. Now, the end of the journey, spiritual in the former, the spiritual in the latter. The gospel accounts of Jesus was 3 days and 3 nights in the ground. But don't forget, he didn't ascend till the next morning. 3.5 days from the time he went into the grave until he ascended. Now, let's look at this. Revelation 11:11. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. So there's a time of crossing over for the 3 days. How long was Jesus Christ in the grave? 3 days. When he arose, he had crossed over the Jordan. He was waiting to ascend. But he didn't ascend till the next morning. So that comes to the two witnesses the same way. For you and I, 3 days to cross over. So God begins his plan for you and I. The resurrection and the timeline, I'll just run through this real quick. This actually I pulled from the Exodus series. So if you wonder where I got this is from the Exodus series. He says, but Christ, this is the amazing point of what we're talking about here, and it goes back to that verse. But each one in his own order, this is 1 Corinthians 15, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those that are Christ at his coming. When Christ, when was Christ crucified and resurrected? 2,000 years ago. All right? For you guys, that's baby talk now, right? We all got that down. No problem there. So what is the Bible about Christ's return? Well, the only thing I put back then was before the millennium. Well, now let's put a scripture to it. Hosea 6:2. After 2 days he'll revive us, the third day he will raise us up. Somewhere around 2030. How about this one? Joshua 4:19. And the people came out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. How about that? When he said, be ready in 3 days, they came across on the 10th day of the first month. Does that have any significance? Anybody here? Yeah, that's the same day that Jesus Christ put the lamb aside. That's the day that the people chose Christ in John 10. That's the day that God set a lamb aside and decided to go through. So what are we looking at here? That when God told us to get ready, because you're going in 3 days across that Jordan, when he's going to begin his covenant, God says, I'm not only taking Christ, I'm taking the first fruits with us. And all of those who went in, the second generation who at that time, they went in with Joshua, who's the type of Christ. Moses was the type of Jesus, a meek man. Joshua is a man of war. Jesus Christ is coming back as a warrior. He's going to take back this planet and give it back to his Father, the way it's supposed to be. So now, let's go back and look at it again. This is where we started at the very beginning. And I ask, what can you tell me about that verse? How about now? Did we add any more information to you had at the beginning? There's a whole lot more to be talked about with this verse. We're going to begin picking up part 3 and carry on with this series next week. In Joshua 3 it says, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying that when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. You can't sit complacent in this day and time. God's going to be moving us forward in a way spiritually that we've never been there before. And you're going to have the strength and the courage to be able to go forward when that time takes place. So we're to move from where we are. That means whatever you own today, be willing to give it up, because you're not taking it with you into the kingdom. You won't need it anyway. And God's going to bring us there. And verse 4 says, and come not near it, that you may know which way you're to go, for you have never passed this way before. And so I'm telling you, you and I, that we stand on the edge of eternity, and we have never passed this way before. I believe what God has showed us from that one verse in Joshua, and we put it all together in the timeline, that I believe God now has laid his plan to begin moving to the return of his Son, Jesus Christ. And this world hates it. And you're going to see more and more anger, more and more volatility, more and more suffering and death than we ever imagined. And as God says, it's going to be a time unlike any time in history. But God says he's going to protect his people and his church. And we have a reason and a job to do all of this, because God has called us to be a part of that first fruit, to go over to be with Jesus Christ when he returns. And God willing, we'll do our part to be there. So in 2 weeks, I'll pick it up for part 3.